everyone, and hope you are all doing very well. So today I'm at the flying field with this helicopter, Goblin Yurokai. F3C machine, yes. We know it is F3C machine. But it's
Who's that?
That's our friend, Tarek.
Oh, nice.
Tarek Osadi.
You know, he might be coming, huh?
Really?
I heard a rumor.
No.
Yeah, he has a commitment. He has a commitment in Dubai for sometime in December, and he's not sure what the dates are. But he told me that if the dates did not coincide with the Orlando Torches Winter Bash, that he would be here.
No way.
Yep. That would be awesome.
Nice.
All right, let's get this episode going. We're talking to our special guest, Jason Bell, today.
Nice.
And so we're here with Jason Bell. How you doing, Jason?
Good, Bert. How are you guys doing? Bert and Kyle, I should say.
Yeah.
Doing good.
Doing good. Nice. Well, thank you for being on the podcast. You know, we started doing this thing, what, 3 months now, Kyle? I don't know. It's been a little while.
It's been a while. Something like 16 episodes recorded now. 16.
Yeah, 17? This is number 16.
Yeah.
So, it's been cool. We've had a few guests, and we definitely had to have the Jason Bell here.
Mm-hmm. The one and only.
So yeah, thank you guys for having me.
So thank you for taking the time. You know, I know you're a busy guy. You work at A-Main Hobbies, and you go to school too.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not easy sometimes, but we just got to hammer down and get it done.
How much more time do you have left in school? Like, are you pretty close to being done?
Oh no, I just started in January, so I've got several years ahead of me.
Oh boy.
What are you majoring in?
I'm going to be pursuing a business degree with either an emphasis on accounting or finance.
Cool.
Nice.
Very use cool. That anywhere. Nice.
Yeah. So, Jason, typical questions for our first timers in the podcast. I remember meeting you way back, probably, could it have been 2007 or 8, maybe?
I think it was 2007.
Yeah.
In Las Vegas.
Was it Las Vegas? I thought it was San Diego, but yeah, it could have been Las Vegas. Yeah, and so what got you into the hobby? Like, when did you start the hobby, and how did you get into the hobby?
So I actually started with airplanes, as most of the helicopter people did, I believe, when I was 8 or 9 years old, and I'm 27 now, so it's definitely been my whole life.
Yeah.
How we got into it is one of the neighbors in our community would go to the flying club, and he would have the airplanes on top of his Jeep. And my dad saw it and went to go talk to him and be like, hey, what's all this about? And, you know, started becoming friends with this guy. And
what do you mean on top of the Jeep? Like in his driveway or something?
Well, we would see him come and go. And then he has the airplanes like literally mounted on top of the Jeep, kind of like a bicycle on a bike.
Oh, for like transporting to the field and stuff?
Yeah, yeah. Nice. I guess the Jeep was too small nice. For some of the big airplanes. So anyway, we went to the local flying field, and my dad really liked it. I was intrigued with it, and it's literally been history since then.
Nice. And then how did that go from airplanes, I'm assuming, to the helicopter days? Like, how did it become a helicopter thing?
Sure. So airplanes, everybody knows, they only fly forward, and the flight envelope is only so much. Like, yeah, you can focus on 3D or precision aerobatics or scale or whatever, but the flight envelope is very limited. So I was, you know, actively flying the simulator a lot through middle school and high school, and I got really bored of just flying airplanes. So I tried a helicopter on the simulator, never intending to own a helicopter or anything like that. And within 6 months, I'm doing like backwards rolling circles, you know, 10 feet off the runway. And I've never touched a helicopter in real life at that point.
Wow. And then that was just like sort of like a natural progression that like it basically transferred, I guess, from your airplane flying skills into the heli, kind of?
Yeah. Yeah. I would definitely say that flying airplanes made the transition easier. You know, of course, there was a lot of, why isn't this working? Why am I crashing so much? And I'm like watching the instructional videos with like Todd Bennett on RealFlight, you know, learning new stuff and just having fun and messing around.
And how? And what was your first helicopter?
So my first helicopter was a Raptor 50, and I want to say it was like Christmas time 2005.
Okay. Okay.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, so when I met you in like 07, you had been flying for a little over a year, helis, not more than that.
Correct.
Because you were pretty good at the time, even at that time. So, yeah.
Hmm. So, what's your fleet looking like nowadays, Jason? What do you have? What is your like daily flyers consist of?
So I have the Logo 600, which is probably my favorite helicopter just due to power to weight ratio. I have the Spectre 700. Remnants of a Logo 700, which I'm not sure what to do with, and an Oxy 4.
Nice. That's pretty broad range of stuff right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not bad.
So, let's backtrack a little bit. When you started flying, you said you had a Raptor, and then you quickly became sponsored, right?
Correct. Within 3 years, I believe it was. With Avant.
Wow, that's a pretty quick jump right there.
And you were like the last man standing with Avant. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I wasn't one to like move around, you know, brand to brand. You know, I really liked building rapport with the companies that I represented and genuinely enjoyed flying their products because they worked well for me.
And it's interesting because for the listeners that don't know the history, Avant was owned by Augusto Arevalo, and Avant was basically an upgrade, right? A conversion kit for the well-known Hirobo series, the original,
correct.
The original, not the Avant heli, but the original company that Augusto started was upgrade conversion kits that made those Hirobos like nice. Whereas they were okay helis. But his conversion kit was, like, awesome at the time. Like, really, really cool. Yeah. And then he ventured into, and this is back in, I would say, 06, 07, somewhere in there, right? Mm-hmm. And then the Avant, which was his first helicopter, real helicopter, right, came out when, Jason? Like, was that, or did it ever come out? That's a question. I don't remember.
Fair like, question.
Yeah.
I want to say it did release like at some point in 2008. Obviously, like we all, the old school guys like us, you know, we know there was some hit and miss with delivery schedules and things like that. But yeah. Definitely it was available to the public sometime 2008.
Well, typical challenges of being in this business. People underestimate how hard it is to make a heli. It's a lot harder than people think.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, absolutely.
And then the Aurora came, right? After that.
Yeah, well, the Aurora was what got released in 2008.
The Aurora Avant. Avant was the brand, never mind, and Aurora was the model, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. Hmm. And then it's funny, though, because Augusto kind of disappeared for a while. He said he has some health issues, and, you know, glad to hear that he's doing well now. But, yeah, we saw him at IRCHA this year, so he kind of made an active reappearance. So it was kind of good to see him again after a long, long, long time. So I see that, like, a lot of people in the hobby that had either quit or, you know, gotten distant from the hobby because of family or work or just life getting on the way, a lot of them are coming back. I've seen a lot of people, like, a relatively decent number of people that I remember from back in the day getting back into it. Don't you
agree?
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. I've seen the same, you know, traveling to events. You know, events that were lower attendance in previous years have been growing, and we've been going to these same events, you know, 2 or 3 years in a row. So that's really positive to see new faces or old faces that I've just never seen before. But like, yeah, I got back into it after 2 or 3 years, like you said.
Right.
Yeah, definitely.
Right. So to kind of jump back a little bit, Jason, talk to us about the development of the Aurora, because when that thing was first being talked about, like, that thing got hyped huge. Like, everyone, it seemed like everyone was either pre-ordering it or wanting it or you know, buying it or, you know. Talk to us about what it was like testing that thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So, like you said, the Aurora was, like, really, really sought after within the, you know, the customer basis. I came to Avant later than like Alan Szabo, Danny Szabo, Chris Walton, and a couple of the other, you know, team pilots. Right. I feel like they had more influence with the testing and, you know, design changes that have happened from when original inception of the first prototype to like what I got in 2008.
Sure.
But definitely, you know, we did do some testing because I was local to Augusto. I was like maybe 45 minutes away. So whenever something, he had an idea, he's like, here, try this, put it on the heli and like, just go fly like nonsense stuff and try and break it kind of thing.
Right. Nice. And then you were involved with the electric of Aurora, correct? When he decided to make the electric conversion?
Yes, correct. So I was involved more with just not design because, you know, I'm not a mechanical engineer, that's for sure. But he's like, here's the heli, go fly it and tell me what you think. And you know, the first heli was good, the first revision, I should say. But I told him it felt certain, in certain maneuvers, it felt odd. And I explained the tendency. He's like, okay, we'll make these changes. So originally it was actually really tail heavy, if I remember correctly, or nose heavy. So he changed the frame and moved the batteries back, and it actually started feeling much better.
Nice. Very cool. Very cool.
Did that one ever get released?
Yes. Yeah, that was that also did come to market.
And then he developed something called a Mostro, right?
Correct. And that was like 2013, maybe, 2012.
Were you still around, like, as a
team
pilot?
Yeah, I was still flying for him. I actually think I stopped flying for Avant in 2014, roughly.
Wow. Wow. Dude, that's like a long, that's a incredibly long time to be with the same company, like for hobby years, yeah. You know, as a sponsor guy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's cool.
Nice.
It's really cool.
Nice. So, Jason, as someone who's been in the hobby for, you know, what is it, 18 years now? Something like that, 13, something like that. How has the hobby changed for you from when you began to what you see it as now?
Difficult to say.
Silence.
Because obviously I got into the hobby at a young age. You know, I was like 14 at the time. So to me, it was just at that point, it was like a video game in real life. Mm-hmm. Like no repercussions. I'm not paying for anything out of pocket. Like no big deal.
Right.
But just looking at it from, you know, then to now, yes, absolutely. There was way more people involved in 2012, 2013 time frame. But what I'm seeing now is, you know, there is absolutely a resurgence coming. And people are coming back because it's not about, let me rephrase that. It's about a balance of not only enjoying flying helicopters and the challenge that it brings, but also the camaraderie that you spend with or that you have with your friends spending time at the field together or at events if you're traveling to events to hang out with your friends.
Right, right. Fair enough. So based on that, what do you think the trends are going towards, like helicopter size, nitro? I mean, obviously electric is more popular these days, but like what trend do you see helicopters going in these days?
Absolutely. I see a lot of the manufacturers seem to be focusing on, you know, single battery backyard basher helicopter, you know, 550 size and smaller. It seems to be the most popular, even at big events like IRCHA, like the blowout. That just seems to be a really popular size, and I believe manufacturers are focusing on that. But we've also seen a very small resurgence in interest of nitro. Mm-hmm. And I think because it's a hobby within a hobby, it's a challenge. So the electric is very simple. You charge batteries, you plug it in, and literally you just go fly. Like you don't really have any tuning nightmares or problems or whatever.
Right.
Whereas the nitro, like it's a completely different learning curve, and a lot of people want the challenge. That's why they fly helicopters. It's challenging.
Yeah.
You want to continue to evolve and grow and hone your skill set.
Yeah, I mean, I love nitro myself. It's cool to like, yeah, tweak the motor and, you know, work on that and, you know, you get out what you put into it. But at the same time, as someone who wants to fly nitro, it's getting more and more expensive. Like fuel around me, I think a case of Byron fuels is like almost $50 a gallon now. Like the prices
yeah.
are insane now. It's insane.
It's very unfortunate, and it's definitely at the manufacturing level. You know, something's going on manufacturing-wise, even in the United States, with Byron making their fuel in the United States, and I believe VP Racing also making their fuel in the United States. Something has gotten more expensive in the raw materials to cause, you know, this 20-25% price increase across the board.
Yeah,
and it's sad because It's very sad because I remember when I started flying helis actively in like 04, I could buy a gallon of nitro for about $15 then.
Hmm.
$15.
Not anymore.
And, you know, I understand there's inflation and there's, you know, obviously you can't expect to find a gallon for 15, but it's taken a huge jump. It's not going in line with inflation, right? And just an expected increase in prices is double or triple what it should be. So it's sad because it's changed the landscape. You know, nitro was the only thing that we could fly, you know, 10 years ago, basically, or 12 years ago, I would say. And now it's kind of a luxury almost.
Absolutely.
And a difficult luxury at best too. Like for, you know, for the newer hobbyists, you know, the people that started the hobby when electric was already popular, 2008 and later, that never tried a nitro, they get into a nitro now and it's like, whoa, you know, this is challenging.
It's not easy. Yeah. It's not easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what happened between your Avant days and your current A-Main situation? Because you're now full-time employee for A-Main Hobbies, correct?
Correct. So I moved from Las Vegas to Chico to come to work for A-Main in 2012. And at that point, and still to date, the quote helicopter team contract has in there, you know, we can fly whatever we want, but the pilots can't be directly sponsored by an airframe manufacturer. You can have your, you know, your supporting sponsors for electronics or batteries or motors or whatever, but at the airframe level, it's like a big no-no. So that's why it took 2 years for me to transition from Avant while working at A-Main now to the A-Main helicopter flight team pilot.
Oh, I see. Okay. So you got hired by A-Main, you said, in 2012?
Correct.
And you've been with A-Main, of course, ever since. Have you always had the same role?
No. I started at A-Main in customer service, and I'm now a purchasing manager for like 90% of the helicopter segment.
Wow. That's okay. A big jump right there.
Nice. So you lived in San Diego, because when I met you and your dad, you guys lived in San Diego, right?
Correct.
But then you moved to Vegas, and then from Vegas you moved to Chico?
Correct, yep.
Gotcha. Okay. Cool. So tell us, what's a typical day for Jason Bell? Like, you get up in the morning, go to work, do you get to fly at all?
Usually I don't, just because with school, you know, I now have more things to do that I arguably don't have time for. But it's definitely show up to work, you know, 9 o'clock, do my ordering, you know, look for any trends that may be happening behind the scenes that I don't immediately know about, whether stuff is selling more frequently or it's tanking really badly. All the purchasing things, sending out orders, emailing vendors for tracking numbers and things like that, and adding new product, removing old product that's not relevant anymore, lots and lots of things.
Nice. And then you don't get like a flying break during the day? You just wait till the weekend, or?
Yeah, usually on the weekend. You know, we have our lunch breaks, our, you know, 15-minute breaks, so on and so forth. But it's really, I just sit here at my desk and, you know, work on what I need to work on. And, you know, on my breaks, I'll check Facebook or call my friends or whatever. So.
Gotcha.
Nice. So how stressful is it managing all those different brands and keeping up with purchasing and stuff? Because Bert does it here, and it's quite a handful keeping up with everything here and, you know, trying to make sure there's enough product for all the dealers as well as, you know, BK Hobbies in itself. So what's it like trying to maintain a store like A-Main Hobbies?
Yeah, absolutely. You guys definitely understand the difficulties, and you guys have like 4 brands. You know, me, I have like, I don't know, 40 brands, 40 brands to look at. Definitely the more product that I'm dealing with, there are some things where I'll just simply forget to look at. You know, it's not as important as, you know, some other product that's selling much, much higher. But with that being said, yeah, exactly. You have to think about, okay, does stocking one spindle make sense? No. Okay, no, I should stock at least two, but really it's a spindle. You're going to break it in almost every crash. So I should order like 10 and like just have those kinds of arguments with myself. Like, does it make sense to order a lot right now, or should we not order a lot because the season is changing or like whatever is going on in the market?
Right.
Yeah, it's tough. Actually, I'm managing 13 brands, so it's a little more than four, but we're distributing four, actually five, which leads me to the next subject, the next topic. So your other sponsors, how about who else are you sponsored by other than, of course, being a part of the A-Main Flight team?
Sure. So supporting sponsors for myself are Exnova, Mikado USA for V-Bar and V-Bar control related items, and Gensei's for batteries.
Nice. So what got you into Exnova? Let's talk about a little bit about Exnova. This will be interesting.
Sure. So working at A-Main, we sell lots of things. And, you know, the benefit is, like, you're not forced to fly something specific. Like, you can do what you want. Pretty much as long as we sell it, you can fly it. So a lot of my friends were converting to Exnova motors because they have seen other pilots at other events have really good results, whether it's the same power output or lower temperatures of the Exnova motor, lower ESC temperatures, lower battery temperatures, like whatever, like they were curious. So I got to see them convert their stuff and I'm like, oh wow, like that's actually pretty impressive. It makes great power. It runs cool and you're happy with it. So I got curious and I tried it on my own and I had the same exact results as everybody else. Like, makes the same power as what I was flying before, runs cooler, and everything's just happier. Mm-hmm. Batteries are happier, ESC's happier. I'd call it a win.
Yeah.
So are you running the XTS series or the Lightning series, or maybe a little bit of both?
A little bit of both. I actually just got the Lightning series, which for those that don't know is the latest and greatest from Exnova. Mm-hmm. More power output, somehow more efficient at the same time. Good job, guys. I don't know how you did that, but great job. But also a little bit higher price point. So, you know, There is definitely a dollar separation from the best performance that we've got. And then we've got, you know, the XTS series, which is still a fantastic motor and makes more than enough power for 95% of the pilots out there. Mm-hmm. And then the standard, you know, Exnova series, performance series, I think is what it's called.
Yeah, performance series. Yeah. Which is still an awesome motor. They're all awesome motors, but interesting you say it, because about the Lightning, you know, I talked to Jin, the owner, when I was in Italy a couple of months ago. Man, that guy, oh God, that guy knows what he's doing, dude. That guy is unbelievable. It's over my head. But for the record, I am a freaking engineer, and it was over my head. Like, the stuff he was telling me, about, I mean, he's extremely knowledgeable. Mm-hmm. About how he designs his stuff and why he does what he does. And, I mean, I could talk for 30 minutes about the Lightning series based on what he explained to me. But, yeah, he made some wicked changes to make that motor run more efficiently and run cooler, even cooler than the other motors. It's quite impressive stuff. Very impressive. Yeah, very cool. So, with the Exnova thing, it's kind of exciting, right? Because we just made the announcement that that we are all together doing Exnova USA. So that's a cool thing.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward absolutely. To that. That's awesome. So for the people that missed the announcement, Exnova USA is a new, I guess you could say, new entity, per se, that is being run by A-Main Hobbies and BK Hobbies, cooperating together. So you get... you know, the whole purpose of this whole Exnova USA is to bring you Exnova motors to the U.S. market, not only for the regular consumer, for you guys, the listeners, but also for all our dealers. Mm-hmm. And ensuring not only sufficient stock, but fast service, because we have, you know, West Coast, East Coast. We couldn't be farther away from center, right? So you guys are on the Pacific Coast. Literally, you probably can throw a rock and hit the ocean, right?
Not quite, but close enough.
Yeah, close enough. Same with us here on the East Coast. We can hit the Atlantic almost. Need a very strong arm, but we could almost make it. And so, yeah, it's. I think I'm excited. I think it's cool. It's really cool.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. And like you said, you know, we did this more, you know, to get the motors into the dealer's hands, which is where our mutual customers may want to shop at for whatever reasons, and that's totally fine.
You know,
if some dealer has it in stock and BK Hobbies doesn't, or A-Main Hobbies doesn't, or their first store doesn't have it in stock, like, you guys all have options, and that's really what we're after, is to give you more options to get the product that you really want.
Yeah, and not only that, but, you know, it's not even worth getting into it, but, you know, it's always good to have final authority in a certain territory that controls, you know, the brand in itself, the support, the pricing. You know, that way we can minimize price wars and things of that nature, and everybody's happy and everybody's getting fair treatment. You know, that's the ultimate goal, is for everybody to be treated in a fair type of way when it comes to the brand, paying the right price.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, just to put it as short as possible, it's in the best interest for the whole community to not compete on price.
Oh, absolutely. Well, that's a separate topic, but yeah, you know, that's a good topic, because that happens all the time. You know that, and you know what I call it? I call it the race to see who's going out of business first. That's really what it is, if you think about it.
Right.
There's a stupid price war, and then at the end of the day, all that's happening is the dealers are running out of margins. It's not as if any of us had margins to begin with, right? Like, it's not like we're swimming in margins.
Right, like, absolutely.
We're making very little as it is. So it's like, the more we drop the price, the worse it gets. Mm-hmm. And so eventually we become, I make jokes with Susie all the time. I say, you know what? We move a lot of money, but we make hardly any money. We move a lot of money. Just move it from point A to B, you know?
At least it's like legal money.
Yeah. Yeah,
just to say.
Money movers, man. It comes in from point A, goes to point B, which is us.
Yep.
And then it goes right back out to point C to get more to point for point A again, you know?
Yeah. Right, exactly.
That's all it is. But no, I mean, I think it's a good idea. I think I'm looking forward to cooperating with you guys, like, you know, going to events and promoting the brand and doing social media stuff and enhancing our team as well. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's cool. So it's a good deal.
And above all else, the customer support will always be there. So if you guys ever have an issue for whatever reason, or if you can't find a specific motor you need, you know, either A-Main or BK will get you taken care of.
Yeah,
for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and you know, I don't want to make this a plug for BK, because I know A-Main does an incredible job. But and equally, you have A-Main distributing, right? A-Maindistributing.com.
Correct.
Which is your distribution site. So contact A-Main or contact BK. Mm-hmm. And we'll take care, if you're a dealer, and we'll take care of you. If you're a consumer, just pick whatever you want. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if you're on the West Coast, you will more than likely prefer to go to A-Main.
Yep.
Price will be the same. You get it faster. If you're on the East Coast, you know, somewhere in the Eastern Seaboard, come to us. It'll be faster shipping. You know, it's a win-win, right? And then if you're somewhere in the middle of the U.S., take your pick.
Flip a coin.
You know, flip a coin.
Yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, also to say, if you don't know, simply just hit the Xnova USA, you know, website, and you can come sign up to be a dealer if you're a dealer listening, or if you're a customer and you, for whatever reason, don't know about A-Main or BK Hobbies, well, there you go. Xnova. And it also shows all of our active dealer network as well that sell Xnova products.
Yeah, and I meant to say that too. I don't really want to push people to just come to us. Like you said in the beginning, Jason, like if you have a preferred dealer, whomever that dealer is, you already buy from that dealer, hit that dealer up and say, hey, I want you to stock Xnova, or I want you to order this Xnova motor for me. And go to XnovaMotorsUSA.com and just as a dealer, and then just send a dealer app to whatever supplier you would prefer, whether it is A-Main or BK, and I will set you up with a dealer account, and and then you guys can supply your customer with the product. So yeah,
pretty cool.
It's a win-win situation for everybody, especially for the consumer, no doubt.
Absolutely. And I'm looking forward to it just to see, you know, the growth and more Ex Nova stuff out there in the field.
Yeah, I agree. Cool. And I saw this week that Ex Nova is going to have a speed controller. Did you see that?
I did see that. That took me by surprise. I actually did not see that coming.
And I have to be honest, I am excited and I'm not. I am not excited because I am a Hobby Wing sponsor pilot, and I truly believe in Hobby Wing. I think it's an awesome ESE. I have zero intentions to change. I'm super happy with what I'm running right now. I have no complaints in any way, shape, or form. I think Hobby Wing is a superb ESE. Mm-hmm. But I am excited because competition brings innovation, right?
Absolutely.
And it keeps our hobby healthy and going. And, you know, I've been told that this ESE looks very promising. It's going to have perhaps the best integration with V-Control, I've been told. It looks sexy, man. And I know YGE used to do really good work. YGE has kind of disappeared off the face of the earth for a little while. But, I mean, they've been known for making really, really good ESEs. So I can only expect good things from that, right?
Yeah, I agree. I'm actually running their most recent 65 telemetry ESE in the little Oxy, and it works really well. Like you said, the V-Control integration is awesome. No current sensor needed for battery telemetry. Like, it's just make a wire or buy the aftermarket wire for V-Control.
Really?
And you pick your battery, and you know, you're flying for 2 minutes if you're really going ham, or you're flying for five if you're just putting around.
Really? That's awesome. That's awesome. Can you tweak settings and parameters from the V control on that ESC as well, or is it just limited to telemetry and things like that?
No, you can fully program it like the Scorpion Tribuna series, just like that. You can program, you know, change it from V bar governor to internal YGE governor, BEC adjustment if it has a BEC, you know. Lots of different things, and also telemetry data of the ESC itself, temperature, RPM, like whatever. It's all there.
Wow.
That's awesome. I'm looking forward to that. Meaning that it sounds like Hobby Wing is going to do that. Not that I'm flying YGE by any means, but there's rumors that Hobby Wing is coming out with that. That's what I meant by that. But,
yeah, no, yeah. I'm excited for that too. On the bigger stuff, I run Hobby Wing. And like Bert said, it's bulletproof. It's reliable. I've been very, very happy with it. Yeah. You know, and like you said, you know, more innovations within the market. Well, it just stirs up more innovations with different manufacturers. And, you know, we got to bring the playing field up if we're not going to do anything completely like shocking on price or anything like that. Yeah. So more features for the same money. That's a win-win for everybody.
And, you know, when you think about it, like Hobby Wing makes an incredible product, and I've also been a big believer that if we don't have competition, there's nothing to drive innovation. There's nothing to drive the growth of the hobby. And I hate to say it, but boy, I mean, Hobby Wing has had no competition. So it's about time they get something. I mean, I don't mean to be rude. I'm going to say the word. I don't mean to be an asshole, but they need a little competition. I mean, who are the competitors, right?
Really, yeah. The only thing that's arguably as reliable is double the price. And let's be real, like, not many people are going to put something that expensive on their heli.
And I was going to say that. I mean, there is other brands. I mean, of course, the German brand, not to say that they're I think they're awesome. You know, I used to be a sponsor pilot for Contronic. I used to be very good friends with the owners of Contronic and the previous owners. And they make an incredible ESC. Nothing bad to say about it, but it's at a different price point.
Yeah. I agree 100%. Literally, like, that's just going to separate their customer from a Hobby Wing customer is going to be the price. Yeah. I don't think there's really anything performance between the two that's, like, going to make it or break it, so to speak. It's literally just that sticker shock.
Yeah, and that's why I say that is this the hobby wing has no competition, because it's really not a competitor when it's that much more expensive, right?
Correct.
You know, you can't compare, you know, the price of a, I don't know, a high-end Ferrari with a Corvette. You just can't.
Right, exactly. If the two different leagues.
Yeah, if the Corvette still works and it's reliable and it's a third of the price, then you're going to buy the Corvette. Mm-hmm. So there is to it. But, you know, and then the other, the only other competitor that I can think of was Castle. And Castle's disappeared from the face of the earth almost in terms of being a popular ESC for helicopters.
Mm-hmm. And as well as Scorpion ESCs.
I still see them from time to time, and all the current stuff works really well. It's just, like you said, Hobbywing has seen exceptional growth in the past 2 to 3 years.
Yeah.
And it works way better than, you know, what else is out there.
And not to undermine, you know, I hate it almost sounds like I undermined or totally forgot about Uncle George. Mm-hmm. You know, George Van Gansen and the Tribunus line. I'm not trying to undermine you, George. You have a solid ESC as well, but it's newer to the market, right?
Yeah.
So it's correct. It always takes time to build up that, to turn it into something, right?
It doesn't have a strong foothold in the market yet.
No, not like, yeah. I mean, Hobby Wing's been out for several years now, and it's taken the market by storm, filling the void that was left by Contronic. Mm-hmm. After Contronic lost its presence in the U.S. a little bit, and they run into some issues and new ownership. And Castle, you know, for some reasons lost its foothold, its base in the U.S. market as well. So Hobby Wing took over, and now Tribunus and Scorpion is doing well, but it's a new brand, relatively speaking. So
I agree with what Kyle said. It's been released for maybe a year now, and it's still so new that a lot of people forget about it. I literally forgot about it until you said something about it. And at the same time, if people have a heli that's flying with a Castle, a Hobby Wing, or a Contronic, like whatever, they're really not going to be incentivized to go sell their used thing for 50% of retail price to then go buy a new ESC that really is going to fly almost identical to what they have.
Yeah, now. And how much are the Castles like these days? Are they're pretty cheap, aren't they, in comparison?
They are a little bit cheaper because they don't have a BEC.
Yeah.
Like Hobby Wing and like Contronic. Mm-hmm. Like a 160 is like $230.
Yeah, yeah. And like you said, nobody's going to take their perfectly working Castle Creations 160, sell it for $100, you know?
Right. It's not worth it to most of those people in those situations.
Yeah.
Unless you really just want the latest and greatest, or you want it to be like an ounce or two lighter or like whatever. You know, there's very few reasons that people actually would go and sell their stuff to get a new product.
Yeah, I agree.
What I see people doing a lot is if they're going to build a new heli, that's when they're going to try a new ESC. Like, for example, if they fly all 700s and now they're building a 550, maybe they'll try a Hobby A-Wing 100 amp. And then if they like that, then on the next 700, they'll put a 160. And then at that point, it's just easier to keep all the same brand because you know how to set it up, you know how to tune it, you already have the programming box and stuff like that. So I think that's kind of where Hobby Wing really dominates.
You know, an ESC is a tough one, right? Because think about it. Blades people are always willing to try because blades are disposable items. I mean, you crash and it's done. They're very easy to replace. Takes literally like 1 minute. You swap a set of blades. Servos are easy to replace when you go to a new model because who cares? You're just going to try to see how that servo flies. Mm-hmm. Motors are super easy. But when it comes to ESCs, I compare them a lot to flight controllers, flapperless systems, right?
Correct.
People get used to a V-bar flight controller, like a Neo, and they know it, they understand it, they like it, they know how to set it up. They're going to get a Neo for their next helicopter, right? And if they get a Hobby Wing and they understand it, they're going to get a Hobby Wing for their next helicopter. They're not going to venture into a YGE or a Contronic or a Scorpion simply because it's a new learning curve.
It's a simplicity factor. And
yeah.
The simpler we can make our everyday lives with helicopters, the better.
Yeah, yeah, and they understand it. And just the process, the amount of time they would have to spend to learn the new setup or the new new device, sometimes that's enough to deter people from changing, you know, so they stick to the same.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Luckily, like with helicopter products, the software is all like relatively polished. I remember doing like the FPV racing drones, and I'm sure you can relate. Like you load up Betaflight, and it's like, oh look, I have 18 new firmwares to update, and I don't know what any of this new stuff does. I have no idea. Like, and then you're spending like a week researching the stuff, and then you get a hold on it, and then hit another firmware update, and you're like, come on, guys.
Do you do that anymore?
No, I'm completely done with that.
Me too.
Thank God.
I despise it anymore. I hate it.
No need.
I hate it. It's fun to do it with friends, but man, I just, no way. You can't keep up with all the changes and everything that happens.
Oh, it's insane.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, it's good for the hobby because I think, you know, in time, airplanes and helicopters will start to adapt maybe some of the ideology there. Whatever that will be, I don't know, but it could very well be possible.
Yeah.
Maybe.
So Jason, tell the listeners, what events do you have planned? Are you planning on attending next?
Me personally, a lot of my future is still like unknown for the rest of the year, but we are going to the Heli Extravaganza in South Carolina.
Oh, wow. You're going there. Okay.
In 2 weeks. And then the following weekend, the 28th, 29th, and 30th, we'll be in Virginia at the Fall Mowdown.
Okay, nice. We'll be in Virginia ourselves too.
Cool.
Awesome.
We're not going to make Extravaganza this year.
Mm-mm.
Busy. A little bit. We're busy, and that event, I hear really good things about that event for next year. I hear that someone else is taking over, Chris Mulcahy, the guy that runs the AMA magazine article. He's taking over with a group of friends. He wants to get the event back up, and the event's taken, it's gone down over the last couple, 2-3 years. Steve Rogers used to run that event, and I think he still does, but you know, he's lost a little bit of interest. Nothing against Steve. Awesome dude. Spent a lot of good times with Steve. I just think his mind is not into it, and he's running it, but you know, he's not getting all that support, you know? So I'll probably be there next year, but this year I have to bail. Not to mention we have a hurricane coming this weekend into the North.
Yeah, you guys have your own issues going on, and for all we know, Virginia could be flooded in 2 weeks. What if, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But no, Virginia should be fine. Virginia should be fine because that's in 3 weeks now, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Correct.
Almost three. Almost 3 weeks. And are you coming to Orlando in December?
I'm not sure, just simply because I'm having a personal surgery go on with my jaw. And I don't know when the surgery date is. So there's a lot of I don't knows in response to what are you doing for the next 4 months?
Yeah. Well, good luck with that, and if you can spare the time, we'd love to have you here.
Yeah, absolutely. I always enjoy coming to Orlando.
And this will be...
It's December, and it's like 80 degrees and sunny. Like, you can't argue with that at all.
Yeah. Well, it could be in the 60s,
yeah,
and it could be in the 80s. So
depends on the day.
You never know. Yeah.
Welcome to Florida.
It's definitely going to be muggy. That's almost a guarantee. At least for you, it will be muggy.
Right. It is what it is. I'm used to it. I've gone 3 years in a row now, 4 years in a row. So
yeah, cool.
We've gotten acclimated.
Well, this will be a very laid back, low key event. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Bobby and Gator, you know, are trying to make it as laid back and as much fun as possible.
Yep.
Not the same commercialized feel of the old OHB. So. Should be fun. Should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, something different to try. So if I do get my way out there, I'm looking forward to it.
Cool.
Nice.
Well, thank you for stopping by, Jason. We appreciate it. Tell us if somebody needs to get a hold of you, they want to ask you a question to Jason Bell personally, where would they go? Is Facebook the best option?
Yeah, Facebook is totally fine. Jason Bell. If we're not friends on Facebook, you know, it may take a little bit longer because the whole message request thing, But you can also call a main 1-800 number and just, hey, I want to talk to Jason Bell. That's fine. Or they can email me, jasonb@amainhobbies.com. That's no problem at all.
Nice. Cool. Nice. Well, wrap the podcast. Kyle, where can people reach you?
Facebook.com/KyleStacyRC.
Nice. And you guys can reach me at Facebook.com/BirdRC. Check out our new Exnova MotorsUSA.com website. And if not, send us your ideas for podcasts through Facebook, the BK Official, mm-hmm. or directly to me. Again, Facebook.com/BirdRC or Instagram @Bert_Kammer. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, Kyle.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Jason.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and we'll talk to you all next week. See ya.
All right. See you guys.